Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the year 2000, we hit the mark where half of college grad first-time mothers were at least 30 years old. Now it's a clear majority, and each year more couples are waiting. What does that mean for parenting and the quality of family life and marriage? This hour On Point will ask what postponed parenthood means for today's marriages and kids. And joining me now from Charlottesville, Virginia, is Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. His research focuses on the transition to parenthood for married couples. Brad Wilcox, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. It's good to be here.
And with us from Seattle, Washington, is Pamela Jordan, creator of the Becoming Parents program, an educational program for new parents. She's worked closely with couples starting families for the past 20 years. She's a professor in the Department of Family and Child Nursing at the University of Washington. Pamela Jordan, thanks very much for being here.
My pleasure, Tom.
Pam, you've been working with young couples for a long time. It looks like those young couples, new parents, are getting older. Does it matter?
I think what matters is what the couple's expectations are. And I think when couples are postponing parenthood, they're getting their ducks in a row, they're completing their education, perhaps getting settled or more advanced in a career, more financially stable. And I think it can be a real curveball becoming parents then, because parenthood is kind of the ultimate loss of control. And when you've had everything planned and been moving towards this goal, the challenges of parenthood can be quite extreme.
Brad Wilcox, but career lined up, financial stability, it sounds like those factors would perhaps put a more stable base under parenting and marriage.
Tommy, I think it's certainly the case that parents who have more resources certainly have a leg up when it comes to things like paying for kids' education, tutoring, you know, sports and all that kind of stuff. So certainly on the financial front, you're right, this can be helpful to wait.
Helpful to wait, and yet Pamela Jordan says it's a curveball when baby finally shows up in what may have been a more settled pattern of relationship within marriage, Brett.
That's correct. I mean, we know from my research that about 45% of couples experience a decline in their marital quality in the wake of the arrival of a first child. And so certainly I think, you know, having a kid in your 30s or at any point is a challenge. And I think in some ways it can be more of a challenge, as Pamela points out, for couples who have waited and who've kind of gotten settled into a certain kind of routine, both in their professional lives and in their married lives. And so the transition into having that first child, you know, can be a shock to the system for their relationship.
Pamela, have you seen that? You've been in this 20 years. When you sit with couples and, you know, maybe 20 years ago, I don't know, maybe they were having their first baby and they were 26 or 27. Now maybe they're 30, 31, 32. Do those 5 years make a big difference in how they take it on board? The curveball is always there, no matter what age you are. Is the curve a distinctly sharper one for couples in their 30s?
I think it gets back to their expectations. And I think that when couples are older and they are more secure in who they are and they're more financially secure, I think often they have expectations of themselves that are unrealistic, that, you know, we've handled these other aspects of life. Now we'll move into parenthood and we'll handle this better. And I think becoming a parent is extremely challenging regardless of your circumstances. Another big mistake that couples make is when they've delayed parenthood, they often say to themselves and each other, well, you know, we've had time for ourselves. We've had time for ourselves as a couple. Now we're going to invest our time and energy in our child or our children. And then they neglect themselves and they neglect their relationship, which is a major mistake.
Brad, can you give us the numbers here? I mean, it's not as though it's an overwhelming majority, even of college-educated. From what I see, it passed 50% of college grad first-time mothers being 30 or older around 2000. Now it's nosed on up to 52%. But, of course, for less than college grad level, still overwhelmingly, American mothers are younger than that. But what do the numbers tell us, Brad?
Tom, they tell us that about 25% of American mothers will have their first child at age 30 or later than that. But the story, as you
of all education levels, there
exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's 52% for those who are college educated. So there's a pretty big difference here by education, where well-educated women who are more invested in jobs and in graduate school and the like are taking longer than their peers who don't have that same orientation towards education and towards a profession to have kids.
So it really is about education level at other parts of society, or 25% overall, and yet that continues to edge up and grow. And in that pocket, we're hearing stories of all kinds of new strains. Always comes with parenting, but maybe it's a little different in this particular stripe of Americans. I want to turn to somebody who's right in the middle of this, and I'm taking her a little off guard, pulling her into the studio with me today. But one of my producers, and I've got such a great gang of producers here who do such wonderful work for me, I watch them live their lives and see how it all spins. One of them is exactly in this situation. My producer, Julie Jopp, I just pulled her in the studio here. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Tom.
Describe for us, age-wise and family-wise, where you stand in this trend.
Tom, I just turned 35. I have a 1.5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I found it a pretty major transition in my life.
Okay, and so you just turned 35, and your husband around the same age?
My husband's 36.
36, so you are like exhibit A of this trend. You clearly had both of your kids after you were 30.
Yeah.
What has it meant for your life, and did you expect what it's meant, Julie?
Well, I think I spent my entire 20s thinking about what it would be like to have a family, and my husband and I spent long evenings out at restaurants talking about what kinds of parents we would be, and it was something that we wanted to do just right. We wanted to get everything, the education out of the way, the jobs right. We wanted to be in a house before it all happened.
And you did all that. So what's the problem?
No, it's a wonderful thing, but it's been an overwhelming experience. There are some parents in our circle that call it the siege, and it's
siege, S-I-E-G-E.
Yes. Siege. it's just, I feel like I haven't had a full night of sleep in 4 years, and I became used to a lifestyle where I could eat out, I could go to movies.
You were married for a while, or in this relationship before the first child came.
Right, and now I walk by restaurants and I wonder when I'm ever going to be able to do that again. It's been a major financial blow. It's my husband and I are just exhausted at the end of the day.
Do you think it's different for you being in your mid-30s from someone in their mid-20s? Isn't it a siege for anyone? Is it different somehow for 30-somethings?
Well, I don't think I would have ever had the maturity to do this in my 20s, so
people have done it since time immemorial.
Right. Well, maybe I'm especially immature, but
I don't think so.
I think in your 20s, you may not have that many years to think ahead, to think about, I'm going to have this all set up and it's all going to work perfectly. Because what Pamela Jordan said, this ultimate loss of control, I think in my 20s, everything was out of control. And by 30, I thought, now I've got everything in control and I'm going to start my family, and suddenly everything is once again out of control.
So there we've got it. First-person testimony. Pamela Jordan, you hear from lots of young parents. Does this sound like a typical 30-something description of their circumstances once the family arrives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think many couples are becoming parents more in isolation. You know, it seems as though a lot of the friends and relatives of these couples are working, and so there are fewer people to be able to come around and help out, and that makes it much more difficult.
And maybe because they've waited into their 30s, friends are off deeper into their careers, family may not be quite as involved in their lives anymore, Pam.
Yes, absolutely. I think often there are some major disappointments about grandparents and the extent to which they will be involved in their grandchildren's lives. Many are either continuing to work or they are finally retired and saying, now it's time for us. And we raised you. We don't want to raise your children.
Good luck. You're on your own. What about the stress on marriages of 30-somethings then, having their first children? Does it show up in marriage outcomes, Pamela?
I think it does. And I think one of the reasons for that is that the couples are very goal-oriented, and the next goal is to become parents. And I don't think they spend enough time talking realistically about what their expectations are of themselves and of each other, and how they would like their lives to be, and who they can turn to for assistance and support. And parenthood is not for the faint of heart. It's not something that should be done just in isolation as a couple.
Brad Wilcox, my producer, Julie, said they dreamed for years about what it would be like. And then in spite of all that dreaming and planning, it feels topsy-turvy many days.
Yeah, I think one of the issues here that people don't always recognize, we have kind of two different cultural forces pushing on couples. And one of those forces is they're expected nowadays, both in their own minds and the minds of their peers, to spend a lot of intensive time with their kids. What many parents don't recognize is that actually the average parent spends, even the average working mother, spends more one-on-one time with her kids than moms, stay-at-home moms in the 1960s. So that's obviously one big force pushing on couples. At the same time, couples expect more and more these days emotionally from their marriages. And those two different forces are obviously in tension with one another.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about more and more young couples starting families, having their first child after 30, and what that postponed parenthood, if you will, means for marriages and maybe for the kids. Was everything picture perfect until Junior came along? Our new 30-something parents who spent their 20s climbing in careers and playing prepared for what family means? And I guess, is your white furniture now stained all the colors of the fridge, our nights out in a movie, a distant dream? We've been joined from Seattle by Pamela Jordan, creator of the Becoming Parents program. She's at the University of Washington. From Charlottesville, Virginia, by Brad Wilcox, professor at the University of Virginia. His research looks at the transition to parenthood for married couples. My own producer, Julie Jopp, is with us. She's right in the middle of this demographic and this reality, and I've pulled her out of the control room and into the studio. Let's hear from our listeners. Kimberly in Wayland, Massachusetts, you're on the air. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Great. What do you know?
Well, I agree that I think it's a major life change, but I got married when I was 32, had my first child at 37, and my second child at 39.
Okay.
And I just think it's much better to have, you know who you are, you've had a chance to play, and, you know, we traveled and we experienced life to the fullest, and I think you add a lot to your children by waiting, and I think it's, you know, it might be easier when you're in your 20s because you're not aware of what's going on, but I think you have a lot more to offer your children when you're in your 30s, and I think you don't, you know, I have so many friends that are from divorced parents and have issues with their parents because their parents had children at a young age and they never had a chance to grow up themselves because they were thrown into parenthood.
Right. Kimberly, let me ask you, I mean, in an earlier generation, you were married at 32 and then children at 37 and 39. In an earlier generation, it could have been just put a 2 in front of all those, 22, 27, and 29. And you feel like you bring more to the parenting. What about the whiplash when you first entered this realm at 37 with some pretty established habits, no, I would think, in your marriage and life, and suddenly, you know, here's baby. How was it?
It was great. I mean, it was a huge transition, but I think we were well prepared for it.
Pamela?
Our lifestyle is different now, but we do things as a family, and there are some things that we can't do with our children, especially now because they're small, but I feel like you know, we really enjoy our family now, and we don't feel like we've missed out.
Kimberly, let me understand how your career figured into all this. Were you in the midst of one? Did you step away from it? How's that factored in?
I stepped away. I stay at home with the children now, and my husband works. I feel lucky to be able to do that.
Pamela Jordan, what do you make of the story? They're 37 for the first child. And it's pretty much, you know, roses and sunshine. I mean, I'm kidding, Kimberly, but you know what I'm saying, Pam. She likes it.
Well, one of the things that I'm hearing is that for this couple, they have created a division of labor so that, you know, mom is the primary caregiver for the children and dad is the primary breadwinner. And I think sometimes when there can be that clearer delineation and everyone isn't trying to do everything, it can reduce some of the multiple demands. I think probably we can ask this mom, you know, did you and your husband talk about who would do what? And are you each satisfied with how you have divided up the family responsibilities?
Kimberly, how about it? Did you know going into, let's say, pregnancy that you would step away from your career? And what about the way the responsibilities shake out?
We did. We talked about it thoroughly, and we decided that I wouldn't say we got really detailed about exactly who would do what, but we knew that I would be, you know, my job per se would be taking care of the children. And it's worked out well. I mean, of course, there are certain times just like you get tired of anything that you're doing that I'm having a bad day with the kids or he's having a bad day. But we really talk about it beforehand just so there are no surprises as to who's responsible for what. And he's actually, while we've had children, gone back to school and got his master's, now he's in the middle of his doctorate program. So, you know, that's put an extra strain, but we seem to be able to talk about it and work through it.
Kimberly, good for you. It's a terrific story. Brad Wilcox, how about it? Kimberly was able to step away from her career. Forget 30. She was 37. What portion of new parents in their 30s these days can or do that? Have one of the parents give up a career, stay home? I would think that would make things easier.
Yeah, we actually have seen a modest increase in women who are electing or feeling that they really have to stay at home since the late 1990s. This has been true both for women who've got college degrees and those who don't.
Have to stay home or are financially situated so they're able to stay home?
Well, for some women, there is a sense that if they're in very high-pressure, high-stakes jobs, there's a sense that there's no way to kind of go halfway between being a mother and being a kind of full-time worker. And so for those women, oftentimes there's a sense almost that they have to make a choice, either to stay in the workforce full-time and negotiate that or to scale back to being at home full-time. Now, for other women who are in more flexible jobs, for instance, in education, nursing, et cetera, they're oftentimes able to keep one foot in the workforce and one foot in the home in a kind of part-time basis. And we look at marital quality among moms. We often find that it's the the women who are working part-time who are happiest because they're able to maintain a part of a professional identity and also to devote more time to their kids.
Julie Jopp, my producer with me in the studio. I don't want you going anywhere. You're too good a producer. But how about it? Why don't you just, let the husband bring the paycheck home for a while and then you can, do building blocks with the kids. Go to the park. Stop working.
Well, my husband is a private school teacher and I am a public radio producer. So that's really not an option. We also both find our careers fulfilling. So I think we knew from the beginning that neither of us was going to step out. But I have seen many couples around us do that. I'm not sure who experiences more stress, but I know that the working parents are pretty strung out in general.
Let's go to Christine in Norfolk, Virginia. Christine, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. What do you know, Christine?
Well, I just had a little bit of an interesting perspective that was opposite than most that are calling. I got married when I was young. I was 20, had my first child at 23. I found it to be really stressful on my relationship and myself because at that age, I was really interested in kind of pursuing more of who I was professionally and just kind of growing up. I felt really immature and selfish. And so that marriage then failed, and there was, you know, the child is no longer with both of us. And I was able to then kind of explore myself more as a single parent and move on in my career, in my education. And I found that in turn, I really was more focused on other people. And now that I'm remarried, I have a one-year-old, and I'm 35, and I am much more focused on other people. And I think a lot about why, what the difference is, and why people of older generations were able to do it with so many more kids, and it seems to be so stressful for us. And I think being a product of the 80s was really the me generation. Like, what are you going to do for me, and how am I going to get farther, and what can I do for myself, and how do I look out for myself? So I really feel it took a big shift of perspective for me to be a good wife and good parent at this age, because it's really stressful.
Yeah, Christine, what a great story. Stick with us. Here we've got kind of one of each in one family. Pamela Jordan, Christine, first baby at 23, second baby in a different marriage at 35. For her at 35, she was personally, it sounds, much more ready to be that the parent, the mother, with everything that entails in terms of giving. But she wonders, how did earlier generations do it, you know, in their 20s, having multiple babies? And somehow here we all are as a result.
Well, I think just socially things have changed. I think there used to be more of a sense of community, and women would have children at a younger age. They would be around in neighborhoods with other women who had young children. There was more, I think, that kind of support and friendships. Now it seems as though each family is in their individual silo, and there's a lot of isolation and far less support across families in communities. And that's very difficult.
Christine says she felt as a child of the 80s that when she was still in her 20s, she just didn't have the right frame of mind. She was centered on finding herself and living her own life. Presumably, by the time somebody gets to the 30s, they feel like they've begun to do that. So it hypothetically ought to position people to be ready to sort of give to the next generation.
Well, that's how we had it all worked out.
That, that was the picture. That was the vision.
During the 20s, and as I said, I wasn't ready in my 20s. I did school. I was
sure.
Trying out different jobs.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the right career path. And then when I turned 30, I thought, okay, finally I'm ready. This is the right time. And as I said, it's been great. It's been exactly what we hoped for. But it's just a huge change from our lifestyle before, and a great change. But I spent an hour and a half putting my son to bed last night, and while he was crying most of the time, and my husband spent an hour and a half putting our daughter,
right,
you know, taking on and off Barbie clothes, and then we each meet at the end of the night and we're exhausted. And so, you know, there's not a lot of time left for us, and that's part of the surprise.
Brad, what do you say to that? The marriage itself, the quality of the marriage, apart from the parenting, when the parenting comes along in the 30s, is it different? Is it a different kind of challenge to a marriage, a relationship, Brad?
Well, I think the really crucial things here are time and expectations, as Pamela was getting at. In some ways, Julie's story, I think, kind of indicates that idea. What we find in our research on the transition to parenthood is that couples who are able to maintain some time just for themselves are those couples who are not likely to experience a downturn in their marriages. Likewise, we find that couples who don't view their marriages as a kind of super relationship, who kind of see their marriages tied not just to themselves but also to their kids and their extended families, are also better able to handle this dramatic change. And that, I think, signals this basic idea that when people have, in a sense, more realistic expectations, both about, in a sense, marriage and parenting, they're able to handle this. Whereas when people have very high expectations about what they can accomplish, both in their marriages and in their jobs and their roles as parents, then I think often they're headed for trouble. And so I think part of the challenge for folks in their 20s and their 30s who are having kids for the first time is keeping their expectations realistic, recognizing there are going to be great challenges and joys ahead of them. And then finally, I think we have to tie into the whole issue of social support here. What a variety of different scholars have found is that couples who are in social networks where there are other young parents, be they in churches or in some kind of other counseling forum, are more likely to thrive amidst the challenges of parenthood, because they recognize that they're all in the same boat, in a sense, and that their challenges and their difficulties are not unique to their marriage, unique to their family, unique to their work-family setup. So I think one thing that parents should try to sort of reach out for or look for are social networks that can provide them with some kind of support as they negotiate the challenges of parenthood.
I want to think about realism and expectations and who may have more realistic expectations, 20-somethings or 30-somethings. Let's see if our listeners will help us do that. From Brantford, Connecticut, Lisa's calling. Hi, Lisa. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful program. And I am one of those women who had children later in life. I got married for the first time at age 37 and
right.
had my first at 38 and my second at 42.
Wow, both bang, bang, bang.
Well, I didn't have much time left.
Right.
Both my husband and I are full-time lawyers. And while I grew up being encouraged to wait later in life to have children, and I think there are a lot of pros to doing that, you have more experience, you're more aware of the dangers in the world, and I think I'm a better parent in that respect. What I didn't realize is the longer you're single and childless, the harder it is to give up your life, despite the fact that you're really ready for children.
Right.
And my husband and I are having a horrible time realizing that we can't do anything that we did before or to do anything, just the two of us. It's a whole song and dance, you know, between the babysitters and getting everything ready, and it's so hard to give up your life when you've basically had your life to yourself until the age of 38.
Lisa, when you thought about or even dreamed about having kids, did you picture just how difficult that would be?
No. I mean, I recognized that it was going to be hard and, you know, you would have to give up going places and doing things, but it's not even so much that as it is just the day-to-day mundane part of life. You know, coming home from one full-time job and starting a second and having zero time for yourself.
Right. Just getting it all done.
I appreciate that.
Right. Pamela Jordan in Seattle, what about it? Who's more realistic? The 20-something diving into this maybe cold or the 30-something who may have thought about it but has set habits and doesn't really know what's coming?
Well, I think that the research indicates that to some extent when sort of hold your breath and jump off the cliff, that you may do better because you don't have as many expectations for the level of your performance and so forth. And I think, you know, that is a challenge for couples who are older because they've probably had more successes in their lives and they are very goal-directed. And I think it's difficult when you've said, this is something we really want to do. We want to have children. And we've postponed it, and now we're at the place where we think it's a good place to have children. And then it's still really hard. That's a real challenge, and I think that sometimes these couples have difficulty being open and honest about this is really hard, and there are days where we look at each other and say, what on earth were we thinking? Why did we do this? And then there are the days where everything's great and isn't it wonderful to be parents? I think to handle it realistically and not just feel as though you can't talk about the challenges of parenting because you were so purposeful in delaying parenting and becoming parents.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about more and more young couples starting families, having their first child after 30, and what that postponed parenthood means for marriages and for kids. We've been joined from the University of Virginia by Brad Wilcox. Pamela Jordan's here from the Becoming Parents program. She's at the University of Washington, joining us from Seattle. My own producer, Julie Jopp, is with us. She's in exactly this pocket, right in her mid-30s with a couple of kids and all the tumult that comes with that. I want to look at the financial aspect of this for a moment, if I could. Joining us now from Los Angeles is Amelia Warren-Tiagi. She's co-author of All Your Worth, the Lifetime Money Plan, and author of The Two Income Trap, Why Middle-Class Mothers and Fathers Are Going Broke. She's 36, has two children, 2 and 6 years old. So, Amelia, you're right in the middle of this as well. Talk to us about the finances. Is it easier for 30-somethings becoming new parents or tougher?
Well, I don't think it's easy for much of anybody in the middle class raising children today in your 20s or your 30s. I think our parents just don't appreciate how much the cost of raising children has gone up in a single generation.
They still, I mean, they always had to have diapers and breakfast and a crib to sleep in. What's the difference?
Well, that's all true, and the cost of diapers hasn't increased that much. But it's also not that big a part of what it really takes to raise a kid. What has changed is the cost of educating a child. Preschool, back in my parents' day, was called Mother's Day Out, to give you an idea of how much things have changed, and it was seen as optional. Today, it's seen as pretty darn close to mandatory. The vast majority of kids have done it, and it costs as much as a year in state university in most places, if you can imagine that.
What about the other big sort of substructure, health care, home ownership, the basics?
You got it. That's the rest of it. Home ownership. We all know that the cost of housing has skyrocketed, and we're all watching those costs anxiously these days because nobody knows quite what's going to happen. But what most of us has missed is the fact that housing costs for families with young children have risen twice as fast as they have for everybody else. And the reason is that we're trying to buy into neighborhoods with good quality public schools, and those are scarce and expensive.
So when you've got a couple, I was going to say young couple, but what we now call a young couple, early 30-something, they're chugging along, they've got their careers, begun probably at that point. What is the economic impact? How does it feel when suddenly a child or a couple of children show up in the economic equation?
Well, you usually get hit by the double whammy. First is, all of a sudden, having a home in a family neighborhood with a good school district feels like top priority. Something you might have been perfectly happy to skip out on when you didn't have kids. And the second thing that happens is, by and large, that couple was chugging along on two incomes. And when that child comes, either one of those incomes has to drop out for a while and take care of the kids, or you need to pay for child care. And that is a really big hit on the family income.
Pamela Jordan, what about the transition to parenting for 30-somethings? Do you see it feeling different for these couples from couples who are either younger or, for that matter, these days, much older?
Well, I think, as we've just been discussing, the financial issues, I think, are somewhat different. I think that couples who are a little bit older have some different expectations about their lifestyle and that they do want to live in an appropriate location for raising children. And I think sometimes they get locked into a situation where they have to continue to have two incomes because otherwise they can't support that lifestyle. And that's, very unfortunate. Most people don't stop to think that the cost of childcare is basically a mortgage payment a month.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money. And people want to have quality people taking care of their children if they're not taking care of them themselves.
We have so many listeners who want to get into this conversation. Let's go to Nancy in Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So I got married when I was 28, which I thought was the perfect age. My mother was 28 when she got married, but
okay.
She was an old hag in 1955.
Oh, geez.
I got married in 1988.
Right.
And I had my first baby when I was 40.
Okay.
And my second baby when I was a week over 42. And so my kids are very close. I'm going to be 48 next month. And I feel like, all the financial stuff, we had plenty of money. It felt like we were spending a lot when we bought cribs and strollers, and that was chump change compared to saving for college and childcare and preschool and all the classes and everything that they take. But, all that is sort of beside the point for me because we tried to do things right. We tried to, we spent zillions of dollars on babysitters. We went out every Saturday night and tried to take time for ourselves. And then for the first time, they both went on a sleepover at friends' houses this past Friday night, and
right.
I was all excited, and my husband and I didn't even know what to do. We were like, what do we do? And then
forgotten,
Saturday
huh?
night, right, exactly, and then Saturday night, we went out, got a babysitter, and we went out with friends, and on the way home, I said, I was looking so forward to having, time alone, but it's not that I want time alone anymore. It's that I want to be quiet. They fight, argue, they,
right.
It's insane. They shout, they never, it's horrible, so... Like all the money, all that stuff. Like I'm convinced that eventually it will all work itself out. They're not going to be going to Joe's College of Chiropractor, you know.
Right, just a little piece, though, in the meantime. And when you hear my dear colleague Julie describing her circumstances right now, what do you say, Nancy?
I've been there. Those days, it seems like it's forever, but, and that's what I used to think, that the days were like vast deserts that I had to cross. But the months and years fly by. It'll be over before you know it. And, you know, and in fact, my daughter gets up in the middle of the night and, you know, comes into my room, and I love it because, I mean, I hate it, but I love it because, you know, eventually she's not going to even let me in her room, nor will I want to go there.
Right. Nancy, thanks very much for that, Nancy. Thanks a lot for calling. Let's get another from Ottawa in Ontario, Canada. Donna's calling. Hi, Donna. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm in a completely different situation than most of your callers. I got married in my early 20s and had my children before I was 30, all three of them.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling a little unsympathetic to these young women who feel that their life is so awful and they've had to give up so much. And, you know, spending an hour and a half, you know, getting your child to sleep, or an hour and a half playing Barbies, you know what? it's not going to end when they're six or seven. Then you're going to be going to driving to ballet lessons and basketball practice and things like that. You made the decision to have children. You need to be able to put your self needs in the back.
So pull your socks up and just do it. Do you imagine, Donna, that it might feel harder in your 30s? Are you glad you did it in your 20s when you hear these stories? Or is it it is what it is at whatever age?
I think it's going to be hard whatever age it is if you're not going to, have that decision that you made to have children be the priority in your life. You made that decision. They're there. You can't get a refund. You can't send them back. They're there. You have to deal with it. And if that means you can't go out to dinner, you can't go to a movie, that's what you have to do. The other thing my husband and I were talking about this weekend, because my oldest is going to be 20 this year, and driving him back to university and, you know, driving our others to their different things. And we were saying that, you know, this is a priority. No matter how busy work gets, no matter how busy other family things get or what we want to do, when we're gone, when we've left this earth, what we have that's going, I mean, unless you know, we win a Nobel Prize or something, the thing that's going to be our contribution to the world is our children. And so putting a good effort into that is what you should do.
So put in the effort, put in the time. Okay. They're from Ottawa. Dear colleague Julie, there's some tough love from Donna. She says, you signed up for this. Stop whining. Ouch.
No, Donna, I hear you. I mean, it's absolutely what I signed up for, and it's something that I'm still excited about. And I have to say that by the time work is over at the end of the day, I can't wait to pick up my kids. It's just by the time I get to bed, it's not that it's bad. I'm just completely exhausted, and that's what it takes, and that's our first priority, and that's our focus, and that's what we care about, and it just means big changes.
It's a handful. Let's get a call from Adele in Somerville, Massachusetts. Adele, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am also giving a shout-out from the other end of the spectrum. I'm a 20-something mom, Harvard-educated, with a 5-month-old baby on my hip as I speak.
20 what? Just so we can picture it, Adele. 20 what?
24.
Okay, 24 with a 5-month-old on your hip. It's a great picture. How's it going?
I think that there are some advantages to doing it in your 20s. I mean, first of all, our expectations are pretty low. All our furniture is from IKEA or off Craigslist. So,
i.e. secondhand, maybe off the internet at exchange.
If sits up on it, we kind of shrug.
Right.
We don't really put too much stock in that sort of thing.
Right.
As a woman, I feel like there's some advantages to having kids kind of before I've really launched my career. I could, you know, potentially be in a position where I'm kicking off my career when I have kids in elementary school. So I feel like kind of, you know,
the timing could line up well. About the same time they've got school most of the day, maybe that's when your career kicks in.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's an option. I mean, I realize you have to be in a specific position for it to all line up like that, but I feel like it's something I think more women should think about, should look into. It can kind of make things a little bit easier for you, maybe.
Yeah. Adele, thanks for that report. Brad Wilcox, there's a vote, a couple of votes for the 20-something parenthood path. Is there a logical answer to which makes more sense these days, or is it just a matter of preference and personal experience?
Well, I think couples have to kind of weigh what their clocks are doing, and what their pocketbooks are doing, and what their professional aspirations are. I mean, it's certainly the case. One thing we haven't talked about yet really is the fact that it really makes more sense physically to have kids in your 20s than it does in your 30s. I mean, we're primed to have children, of course, in our late teens. And so the longer you put it off, the more likely you are to have children who suffer from things like autism, leukemia, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one thing I think to think about. But we also have to be careful that people are mature enough to be married and to have kids. And we know that kids who get married in their teens are more likely to divorce. And what it looks like from the latest research is that people who get married in their mid-20s are actually most likely to have happy and stable marriages. They're mature enough to make that move, but they're not set enough in their ways to be, kind of challenged by a 30-something marriage. So the same thing might apply to having kids, and they're kind of mature enough, mentally to do that. Their bodies are primed to do it, and maybe that's the best time for kind of the average couple to do this. But once again, we have to kind of realize that every couple is going to be somewhat different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's get a call from Houston, Texas. Elizabeth is on the line. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. What do you know?
Well, actually, I just wrote a book on this topic. It's called Ready, Why Women Are Embracing the New Later Motherhood.
And what's the answer? Why are they, Elizabeth?
Well, there are lots of big issues underneath this, and I think it's a fascinating topic because it speaks to big changes in the cultural script for everybody, not just this particular group of people who are women who are waiting, but also their husbands and the whole world that's getting the benefit of the change, which is women's contribution to the workforce. That's the big factor behind a lot of this, is that women have a whole new set of options, and we're all as a group trying to figure out how to do all the things that we used to do as well as all these new things.
In 1970, I'm reading here, only 30% of mothers with children under 5 had been employed in the last year. That's certainly no longer the case today. But does the waiting make a happier mother or a more stressed out mother, Elizabeth?
Probably not so much different. I remember working, the people that I talked to said that they were having a great time because they were parenting when they felt ready. Other people might feel ready at another point, and the good news is that people have the option to decide now that they didn't have prior, partly because of birth control, partly because we all live so much longer. But I think I had one 29-year-old assistant who was typing out some of the transcripts of some of the more than 100 interviews that I did with women, and she had two little kids, and she was listening to somebody complaining that, oh, she was tired. She said, well, I'm tired too. Everybody's tired when they have toddlers.
Yeah, that's for sure. Elizabeth, with Ready, Why Women Are Embracing the New Later Motherhood, thanks for calling in with that from Houston. We appreciate it. Our time is short. Let me get Jonathan from Jamaica Plain on. Jonathan, we haven't had too many guys on the air yet. Here you are. What do you know, sir?
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm glad to speak for the fathers, especially given the last comments made. There's also the dads matter in this, too. Our careers
sure
are also impacted.
Absolutely.
So my wife and I are in our early 30s. We have a 7-month-old and a 2-year-old, and we're both physicians. So this also gets to the dual-income
mm-hmm.
household and,
mm-hmm.
and the financial calculations that we have to make. And we're sort of in the place in our careers where we're just starting, where we're supposed to be the most productive, and taking a step back and thinking, how do we proceed? If I cut back on my job, I won't have to pay the $4,000 a month in childcare that we're looking at in Boston, and I get to spend more time with the kids.
Right, right.
But then I have to check my professional ambitions, which I've been sort of thinking about and planning about for the past 5 to 10 years. And all that being said, though, I think in the end fine with that because, as one of your previous callers said, my kids, my family is my priority.
So you'll do what it takes, but you're seeing and feeling that it may take something in terms of career ambitions.
Yeah, and it's definitely not easy. It's a struggle, an ongoing struggle right now for us as we're trying to decide what job do I take come July of this year. My wife is starting an ophthalmology residency. How do we proceed? It's a balance of sort of personal ambition, family priorities, along with a financial calculation.
And it's not somewhere down the road at your age. It's right now. Jonathan, thanks for that. Let me get one more call from Kim in Moortown, Vermont. Kim, you're on the air. Our time's short. What do you know, Kim?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a short comment. I'm a 39-year-old mother of a 3.5-year-old and a newborn, and my husband and I were talking the other night about the fact that if our kids wait until they're our age to have children, that we likely won't know our grandchildren, which is sort of one of the downfalls of having kids later in life. and is different from my experience. My mother had me when she was 20.
So yet another piece of fallout there. Eat your vegetables and get your exercise, Kim, and live a long, long life, and we hope you see it all. Kim, thanks very much for that. Okay, Julie Jopp, my dear colleague, are you heartened by all this? What do you think? Here we are. It's your circumstance we've been talking about for an hour.
Well, I think I'm in the period where it's most intense with 1 and 3 year olds,
right.
and I just noticed on our daughter's schedule that at 5, when she gets to 5th grade, she's supposed to have an hour and a half of homework a night, and I was thinking, oh, that means an hour and a half where we can all be as a family quietly sitting around the table doing. Something a little more relaxing.
Dreams, they never die. Maybe it'll just be that way, be just as sweet and beautiful as that. Good luck with it. People make it through. You will too. And to all of our listeners out there, the same. Brad Wilcox at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Brad, thanks for being with us in this hour.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure.
And Pamela Jordan in Seattle, thank you so much for joining us today, Pamela.
Thank you, Tom.
And Amelia Warren-Tiagi, co-author of All Your Worth and The Two-Income Trap. Amelia, thanks for being here.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Good luck to everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.